All right, Mark Dominic joining us, GM of the Bucks. We're going to talk about the draft now. Obviously, that's coming up on Thursday. I want to start with offense, and then we'll get into defense. And obviously, when you look at the offense coming up in this year's draft, I think a lot of people look to quarterback. You're not going to be looking to quarterback, I don't think, early on. But for teams that need a quarterback, is this a good year or a bad year coming from a GM like yourself that doesn't need a quarterback? Is it a good year or a bad year to need a quarterback for teams that do?
Well, I think it's a solid year for quarterbacks across the board throughout the draft. You know, I think there's obviously speculation now that 8 or 9 quarterbacks could go be gone off the board by the end of the second round, which is a good sign for quarterbacks and a good opportunity for a lot of young players to put themselves in the National Football League and put themselves in an opportunity to play early and to see what they can do. But I can assure you, and I'm sure every Buccaneer fans out there is pretty happy that that's not a position I'm trying to really look at in the first two rounds. And I feel like we got our guy 2 years ago in the middle of the first round, and I'm happy to try to build this draft around him and how to make this football team better.
And he was a fantastic pick. He's been great for you. I know you would want a lot of quarterbacks to go early because that means players are going to drop to you. We'll talk about some of those players in a moment. But one guy that could be going first overall to Carolina, I don't know if you've looked into Cam Newton, but do you follow him? Do you do preparation on him in anticipation that he might go to Carolina and you might have to play him twice a year?
We actually evaluate him just like we would if we were going to draft him. And really, we do that to be able to make sure that we're staying on top of our evaluation process at every position. And so we can go back in a year or two, 3 years, or certainly a quarterback can be a little bit longer than that, and say, what grade did we give Cam Newton? How did he turn out? Were we right or wrong? So we still evaluate him as if we'd consider him at this year's 20th pick. And Cam obviously brings a lot of special tools to the quarterback position, which make defensive coordinators nervous at night, and certainly did in the SEC and in the championship. And so he's got a lot of special traits and a lot of special talents that you have to think about. But we evaluate every quarterback in this draft class as if we're going to consider him at our selection. And again, we do that to make sure that we're being the best evaluators we can as an organization.
So many times, too, we hear that you want to stay true to your board and you want to draft the best player available, and you don't necessarily go for need. But for you, you're not going to draft a quarterback. So our quarterbacks, do they make it to your board, or do you kind of eliminate them from your board and you look at needs on your team and you kind of put players in order of where they would be on your board?
You know, I actually still stack quarterbacks on my board where I would take them. And so Cam Newton's certainly on my board. If he's still available then, you know, there'll be a lot of discussion through the National Football League. But no, I still place him in a reasonable spot where I'd say, you know, this is a good spot for Cam Newton, or this is a good spot for Blaine Gabbert, depending on how the whole draft or any of the other players, because I still need to stack them according to us. And at that point, at some point, Cam Newton's going to be better than the wide receiver that I'd be considering, and that's where I would put Cam Newton and say if he's still available, I take him.
Mark Dominic is joining me, Justin Plaski, here on the Sports Animal. A lot has been made, too, of Gruden's quarterback camp on ESPN, talking about quarterbacks in the draft. Now, last year, a lot of people pointed to Jimmy Clausen's fall, maybe because of his performance on Gruden's quarterback camp. I have to ask you, because it's been asked to me, do GMs put an emphasis in a TV show like that, or you're doing your own preparation for the draft?
Well, I think it's twofold. I will say this, you know, John's got obviously the show that he does, and you have a chance to catch up a wrap-up show too. But the bottom line is it's part of the evaluation. I mean, John makes it hard on those guys, puts in a little bit of a grinder. Having been around Coach Gruden, he's really good with those quarterbacks and how he kind of challenges them mentally. And he knows how to just trick them enough where, you know, they feel like they get in a comfort zone, and John left hooks you real fast, and he wants to see how they can handle it. So I think it's a good show to watch. I watch it. I think it's interesting just to see how the player interacts with another person anytime. You know, just like I watch the NFL Network on their path to the draft. I watch those because they bring players in, and you see how he interacts in a social setting around other people, and it's just another piece to what I call the big puzzle, and that puzzle is hopefully to come together to be a Super Bowl trophy.
Now, last year, speaking of the Super Bowl, the Steelers made it there, and their first-round pick last year was Marquise Pouncey. Did Mike Tomlin brag to Raheem a little bit, and is Raheem kind of saying he wants his own Pouncey this year?
I think there's 31 clubs that like Pouncey's. And there's only one that has one, and there'll be another one that gets one or they're going to be playing together. But, you know, obviously it's a special family, and it's been very successful for them. And, yeah, he bragged about it, and rightfully so. He should. When you're drafted where they drafted last year, and to pull a player like that who looks like a perennial Pro Bowler at the center position, I'd beat my chest, too, if I made a pick like that.
What is the difference between the two Pouncey brothers? Marquise was so good in his rookie season. Is Mike Pouncey going to get drafted higher because of his brother's success?
Well, I think there's an opportunity for that. I do think the 2010 draft class was a very special draft class, as we've talked about before, Justin. So that might have pushed Pouncey and his brother down a little bit more when normally he'd be drafted higher. I also think they bring different traits. Even though they're twins, they do have different styles, and I think that makes Marquise very interesting as well.
At the tight end position, depth is important. You look at the roster right now, Kellen Winslow, Ryan Purvis, John Gilmore's a free agent. How do you like the depth of the tight end position in this year's draft? I think you can get one a little later.
I think there is chances to take advantage of the depth of this draft class at the tight end position. I wouldn't say it's one of the strongest ones. I'm not so certain if a tight end's going to go in the first round or not just yet. But I do think that there's quality players you can pluck along the lines. And again, we stack it accordingly to how it could fit in the value of the player at the right spot. But I do think there are players in this tight ends class that, along with the sleepers you're probably thinking about or that you've already found, are guys that we feel like we've got stacked in a good spot too on our board.
Final question for the offense. Mark Domick is joining us. A couple of wide receivers I've seen you might have interest in is Greg Little from North Carolina, doing some research on him, and a guy in Leonard Hankerson from Miami. To me, I look at those guys as the type of wide receivers you already have on the team, and it makes me wonder if I should be more concerned about Aurelius Ben and his injury.
And you shouldn't be, and I appreciate the question. Actually, I was just talking to Todd Torricelli, our trainer, and he was talking about how well Aurelius has rehabbed from it and how he could technically go on the football field almost today, only 4 months post-op. And so I think that's really encouraging, and certainly knowing that his rehab has gone fantastic, he'll be ready to go. It's just going to be a whether how much we want to push him early on. So his injury is not factored into our decision. Again, it's the quality or the talent of the player at the level of where we can take him is what we're focused on.
Mark Domick is joining us here on The Sports Animal. And as we get into the defense here, Raheem Morris has had a little extra time, obviously, with the lockout. No workouts going on, no contact with players. So him, like you, really entrenched in preparing for the NFL draft. So I have to ask you, are you and Raheem on the same page with a guy you want to target with the 20th pick this year?
Well, I think we're still upstairs talking a little bit. We got 1 week out. We certainly have a mindset of what the player looks like, what the traits are, but we're keeping that board pretty open. And so I'm challenging him on offensive players and defensive players upstairs as we watch the tape and unfold it, and exactly what the plan is within the organization if we were to pick position X. And that's really more important to me right now, is what's the plan? How would we implement him? How do we use this player? Where does he start out day one? How does it affect the other players on the roster? More so than me spending time watching film with Raheem. Now it's more of, you know, just talking to the coach and saying, what are you going to do with the guy once we get him in the building?
I think when we look at the offense, the quarterbacks have a big effect as to where players might drop, where players might fall. One player on the defensive side that really we don't know where he's going to go, you might know a little better than I do, is Daquan Bowers with his injury and whether or not he's going to be able to have a full effect in the NFL. What kind of effect do you think he's going to have on the draft this year? And have you made those preparations? Do you know what you're going to do if he does become available with the 20th pick?
Well, I would say that he's certainly been a popular figure that a lot of people have talked about, and certainly because he's been such a tremendous college player that the emphasis or the spotlight's on him right now. I could tell Buccaneer fans that I know exactly where he's at on my board and that I'm prepared to handle it if he's there or if he's not there, and what we would do as an organization. We've already come to those conclusions. At this point, we're trying to clean up more of where we would put him in those players or whoever we take with the 20th pick. It's more of where would we go with him, how would we use him, rather than would we take him at this point.
You know, I was looking too at some of the linebackers you've shown some interest in, maybe a Dante Moak from Nevada or Chris Carter from Fresno State. I'm sorry. It's out there. Hey, I'm not the one breaking the news. But I will say this. A lot of these guys played defensive end in college. They're going to move out to outside linebacker in the NFL. They seem to be better fits for 3-4. should we expect maybe more of a 3-4 defense from the Bucks in 2011 and beyond?
Well, I think last year Coach Morris put out the Redskin package, which is our 3-4 package, and we had a lot of success with that. You know, we freed up, you know, even Quincy Black knocked out Matt Moore with the Carolina Panthers on a 3-4 with when he got a stunt inside. So we've used that. We've already implemented it. We've kind of talked about how we've been able to open up our draft board even more to more hybrid guys. But some of those guys, you know, like Moak, who came in here, certainly, you know, has added a lot of weight, and he's no longer the 228-pound player at Nevada. He's now a 240-pound player, and teams have had success even in 4-3 defenses playing him at a right end or a left end spot and still or doing a spot challenge him to get to the quarterback on third down. So just because a guy's not an everyday player, much like a change of pace back or a third receiver or a nickel corner, they bring a lot of value game day, and we're looking for players anywhere across the board that can help us do that.
Mark Dominic joining me, Justin Pulaski here on the Sports Animal. You don't have to talk about him because I know you can't, but what or if does Aqib Talib's situation have effect? Does he have an effect on your draft plans?
I was saying earlier that fundamentally and organizationally, you know, I'm a big believer you can't have enough cornerbacks. And again, I give the Jets a lot of credit, and it's Rex Ryan's fault or it's Mike Tannenbaum's fault, whoever it is, but I agree with that philosophy 100%. And so that's why over the last 2 years you've seen me draft a cornerback the last 2 years in a row. And it's going to be a position that I'm always going to have high emphasis on because I think it's so important and because they go down and it can really change the game quickly. You know, it'll continue to be that way for me regardless of what all occurs within Aqib Talib's situation or however that gets resolved once we're able to talk about that further. But I would say that that's still going to be a position, no matter who's on our roster, that I'm going to continue to look at and scrutinize very hard.
Which has more of an effect, a cover corner that can play man, can play zone, that can shut down a receiver, or an end or a defensive tackle that can get after the quarterback?
Well, I think it's that's why I think when I've said to people, don't pigeonhole what we're going to do with that first pick. You know, if we decide to go in a different direction than most pundits and most people that have done a lot of research in this think we're going to go, it doesn't mean we won't find a way to get to the quarterback or try to find a way to get to the quarterback. So again, we're keeping our board open, and I certainly have a good slot of where we're going to take everybody, but at the same point I would hate for us to be disappointed if you're at your party, your draft day party, and you go up there and the 20th pick, we decide to stay where we're at, we haven't moved up, or we decide not to trade back, and we don't take the position you think we're going to take, doesn't mean that we haven't forgot about it. And that, I think that's the hardest thing for people to realize, is that there's a possibility that happens.
I don't know if we've done a draft party where people have actually liked the pick, but I guess you can talk about that with any city, with any team. So
I can remember our first one. My brother burnt bratwurst in Kansas City, and I heard the boos across the street over here from Raymond James Stadium about Josh Freeman, but not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore, exactly. Other than defensive end, and we've talked about how strong that is in this draft, what's the strongest position other than defensive end this year for you?
Well, I think offensive tackle is really strong this year. I think there's a lot of really good talented players at that position. So I think that's a position where you can see a lot of depth and certainly a lot of top-heavy players, guys that are certainly deserved to go in the first or second round at least. And then you've got a lot of players, I think, at running back positions are fairly strong. It might, you know, everybody kind of has a good feel for who the number one or two or three backs are. But I think there's a lot of quality depth at the running back position in this year's draft as well.
When we get to Saturday night and you're sitting and looking at your draft and who you've selected before you go out and you look at who you're going to bring in as an undrafted free agent, which that's not going to happen for a while. We hope sooner than later. What's going to make it a successful draft to you when you look at that board Saturday night?
Well, I think it's going to be the makeup of the guys that we brought into the football team and to continue to make sure that when I sit back and look at it, do these guys, not only are they good football players on the field, are they guys that I want in my locker room? Are they guys that I want in our community? And I'll look back at that list, and I'm confident that that's going to be that type of player.
Well, we're excited about the draft. We're excited about the new additions for the Buccaneers. And I'll be talking to you, I guess, after the selection is made in the first round. So good luck. And
be booing me, definitely.
I don't boo. I won't be booing you. I have faith that you're going to pick the right guy for the team. So I appreciate you taking some time out, and good luck with the draft.
Thanks, Justin. All thanks right. For having me on.
Mark Dominic joining us here on the Sports Animal.